You're listening to a 95 BFM podcast.
It's time for What's Up with Deputy Opposition Leader Nicola Willis.
Morena, Nicola, how are you this morning?
Morena, very well, thank you.
It's good to have you on the show today. We've got some big ones to get stuck into this morning. I wanted to start with the government's cost of living payments, which a lot of people will have received this week. There's been some criticism from the National Party about some overseas people receiving this as well. The government's come back out and said that it would have been more expensive to go through and work out who was overseas, who was in Aotearoa, than it is to actually just pay out that. What's the National Party's position on that response?
Well, our view is that the simplest way to have provided tax relief to hardworking New Zealanders would have been to inflation adjust tax thresholds, and therefore that would have been a lot fairer. The approach that Labor has chosen means that we've got numerous people overseas contacting us saying, look, I've got the cost of living payment. I didn't ask for it. I don't want it. I'm actually a bit embarrassed by it. And it seems that these people, all they have in common is that they still have a New Zealand bank account and they're no longer in New Zealand. So we're worried about just how many people overseas may have got this money, given they're not paying tax in the New Zealand system, and there are a lot more needy New Zealanders here at home.
Well, do you think that the stipend that the government has given out this week is useful? It's interesting that that's perhaps not what the National Party would have done. What is it that you would have liked to see in that place?
Well, we would have preferred to have offered permanent tax reduction. The key feature of Labor's proposal is that it's temporary. It's only for a number of months and then it ends. And so what we proposed was inflation adjusting tax thresholds as a permanent measure, which would have meant that people could have looked forward to lower taxes into the future. That would have also been administratively a lot simpler. It wouldn't have required hiring hundreds of people at the IRD, as Labor's proposal has had, and it wouldn't have meant money going into the finances of people living overseas. So our view is that the cost of living payment is both temporary and a band-aid, doesn't get at the drivers of inflation, and has proven to be very wasteful.
And the National Party has actually dropped their controversial, or your controversial, tax policy. It's been pretty widely criticised. I think all parties have had an issue with it. It's been also widely criticised by a lot of public organisations who deal with the lived experience of poverty as well. Why has the National Party dropped this tax policy?
Well, that's not correct. We have not dumped the tax policy. Our position has consistently been that we put forward a program of inflation indexation we could see was affordable for this budget, and we urged the government to take it up. They didn't. As we go into next year, we will be presenting a fully costed fiscal plan that will include tax reduction for working Kiwis as a key pillar, and it will include inflation indexation of tax thresholds because of the very important principle that we think it's unfair that people are paying more tax and being pushed into higher tax brackets simply because inflation is rife in the economy.
Well, how are tax reductions for high earners, the highest earners, going to help the cost of living crisis and inequality for everybody?
Well, what we've proposed is a program of inflation indexation, which would mean that those earning in the top rate would have a maximum gain from that of just over $1,000 a year. And what we have said is that we think that inflation adjustment is fair because it keeps the tax system progressive, it keeps the tax system responding to the economic conditions of the time, and it ensures that when people are working hard, they can know that they can get ahead, and then they're not going to consistently be taxed more and more.
Now, yesterday, Christopher Luxon said some interesting comments which have been received, not necessarily super well, by, again, poverty action groups, around New Zealanders wanting to get rich, or this being a sort of a goal of New Zealand, the New Zealand experience. Some people just want to get by. What would you say to those people who just want to get by at the moment?
Oh, look, absolutely. We all want people to be able to get by. I think we also want to be aspirational, that we want people to have more choices in their life, more security, more dignity. And one of the ways that we can provide that is by having a more prosperous, wealthy society where people are able to earn more. That's a fundamental motivator for National, is that we do want people to feel like they have more financial security and more financial choices. And that's why we're so committed to strengthening the economy and delivering better incomes for New Zealanders.
So where does welfare come into this conversation, though? Because we're hearing a lot about the sort of inflation-related responses and also tax-related responses, but we do still need a welfare safety net for people. Where's the National Party's conversation about that at the moment?
Oh, look, we're absolutely committed to a welfare safety net. We think that's actually quite an important part of being a New Zealander, that there be support available for those people who have a time of need, who are vulnerable, who for particular reasons at any time are not able to work. We also think that it's critically important the government ensure that people are supported back into work when they can work, because we see that work provides dignity, and it provides a pathway to higher income in the future. So we're not prepared to turn our back on people who have been on welfare for long periods of time but who are able to work. Actually, it's not kind to leave them sitting on a benefit. If we can help them into paid work, we must.
Well, I want to talk a little bit about the Electoral Strengthening Democracy Amendment Bill, which is going through at the moment. It's a big one. It covers quite a lot of stuff, but it's been in the news recently because it's now also going to be looking at some of the potential changes to the disclosure of party donations. The National Party and Labor have been sort of under scrutiny around some donations that have gone through in the past. There's been some court cases going through recently. What is the National Party's position on the way that this potential change is being handled under this bill?
So there's two separate bills, just to be clear. Gowra's Garraman has put forward a bill which contains a large number of measures on a large number of electoral issues. We're opposing that bill. We think the right way to deal with reform to electoral law is through the formal review that the government kicked off this year and that we have submitted on. Now, one of the proposals that the government has made is to lower donation thresholds. And we have said, look, we don't think that's necessary. We don't see a problem with people being able to make donations at the level they have.
Are you worried you're going to be on the wrong side? Are you worried you're going to be on the wrong side of public opinion on that, though? There's been quite a lot of pushback against this particular concern.
Well, look, when it comes to cases of people abusing the donation system, and trying to work around it and be evasive, then of course we don't support that. But we don't think the blunt tool of simply lowering how much people can donate to political parties without disclosing their identity is the right way to go, because inevitably what it means is that some people who don't want their name in the public domain associated with a particular political party, or who are concerned that if it's known that they've donated to a particular political party, that might affect their employment prospects or their reputation. In effect, they won't make those donations anymore. So then the question becomes, well, where will political parties get their funding from? And we are concerned that where this could all lead is that taxpayers will end up having to fund political parties
that
for
seems,
their political advertising.
That seems, like a, that seems like a stretch, though, doesn't it? What would the National Party like to see instead of the changes that are being proposed?
Well, we would like to see the current ability to receive donations maintained. We would like to see that any loopholes in the law which allow people to go around and make smaller donations through different entities in order to evade the disclosure requirements, those loopholes should be addressed. And we would like to see a continuation of the approach which takes a careful approach to electoral law that doesn't just change it from one election to the next, but considers submissions and does that in a thorough way.
Well, while we're talking about some of these potential changes, I'm curious about what your personal position is on the concept of lowering the voting age to 16. Is that something that you personally support?
No, it's not. Look, we have to decide where the age is, and there'll always be debate about that. But my view is that broadly, the age of 18 is seen as adulthood in New Zealand. That's when you can marry, when you can join the army, when you can drink alcohol, and I think it's about right.
You can drive a car at 16, though. That's a pretty big one. What is it that you're concerned about the reduction of the voting age for?
Well, my sense is that we just have to draw a line somewhere. Some people will say, well, should it be 14, 13, 15? And my view is that 18 is about right. That recognises the responsibilities that we give to people at that age, the stage of maturity that they have. And I think that's about right for the voting age.
All right. Well, I just wanted to very briefly touch, before we let you go, Nicola, on just a bit of confusion yesterday around the National Party, what they would be doing around matching healthcare funding to inflation if elected. Luxon has promised that. You said that that's not yet actually confirmed, and then Luxon's kind of gone back and forth on that a little bit. What is the position of the National Party on that?
Well, we've been very clear that at a minimum, we do need to increase health and education funding to allow for inflation. The thing that we haven't determined yet is how much more funding on top of that we provide, because we will have to provide funding to allow for an ageing population, for rising health needs, for that sort of thing. And we will be determining the exact amount we propose to fund for health and education next year when we put together our fiscal plan, which will have to respond to the economic conditions at the time. But funding to allow for inflation is an absolute minimum.
Well, thank you so much for your time this morning, Nicola Willis. It's always excellent to have you on the show. We'll talk to you again in a few weeks. Take care until then.
Thanks so much.
Kia ora.
That was What's Up with Deputy Opposition Leader Nicola Willis.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.